has it, is going to read a scripture from 1 John. If you want to learn a little bit about God's love, that's a good book to look at, the books of John. John and Jesus had a special relationship. So we're going to be looking at chapter 4, 1 John, verses 7 to 10.
All right, I'm slowly getting it together here. All right. Starting at, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. As we sang the song, Mary, Did You Know? I often wondered, how much did Mary know? And how much do we really know of your great love for us, Father? We know you love us, but do we grasp the depth of that love? And so I just pray, Father, you'd help us this morning as we look at your word, understand how much you love each and every one of us here. And we just pray, Father, you would touch each of us in a special way because of your great love for us this morning. In your name we pray, amen. As I looked at those few verses in John, I almost had to think that God is, his essence is love. He just exudes love from it, just flows out from him. He can't stop it, I think, from coming out. But I think these verses are telling us that love comes from God. I mean, they basically say here that for us to really love the way Jesus wants us to love, we have to have a relationship with him. And when we mention love, I think we all know about agape love. That's the type of love, you know, we're talking about when we talk about God's love for us or Jesus' love for us. But I had to think about just the fact that God was willing to set aside his deity and come as Jesus Christ, as a human being, become like us. Can you imagine if you're living in a mansion that you just want to give that up to go live in a gutter? Because you wanted to minister to some people. That's kind of what he did. I mean, heaven is so awesome compared to coming to this earth. But God's love was so great that he came as Jesus Christ to save us so that we could spend an eternity with him. But he didn't just come to love us and to be a savior for us. He came to be an example. He came to show us how we should in turn be living like he did, so that we can spread the good news to others. We're going to be looking at, when I thought of love, what better scripture to look at than 1 Corinthians 13. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13, but 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says that we're to follow his example. Follow his example because he follows the example of Christ. And so as we look at love this morning, I had to think, we're going to be looking at two different things. We're going to be looking at how much God loves us, but also how much are we loving others. You know, if people look at my life, are they seeing the love of Jesus? If they look at your life, are they seeing the love of Jesus like Paul was saying in Corinthians 11, verse 1? So with that in mind, we want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to look at verses 4 to 8 this morning.
1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
Thank you, Megan. So as we look at love this morning, there's a lot of things packed into those few verses. And the question I ask myself, and that I think we all need to ask ourselves this morning, is how are we doing at loving? How are we doing in representing the love that Jesus showed us, that God showed us when he came to this earth as Jesus Christ? And so the first thing we see in verse 4 is, are you patient? You know, sometimes I think in some things I'm very patient. Other things it seems like I have no patience at all. I don't know if you can relate to that. And it's kind of strange. How can we have patience in some things and not others? But sometimes I struggle with that. But are you patient? Are you slow to angry? Here's the tough one. Are you patient under affliction? When things aren't going the way you want, when your life just isn't the way you planned it to be, are you still patient? Or does that set you off? Are you slow to resent somebody? Or are you ready to forgive somebody? The second thing in verse 4 is, are you kind? Now, as we go through this list, there's kind of two things here, one or the other. Either it's an action we're supposed to be like we're supposed to be patient, we're supposed to be kind, or it's something that we're supposed to avoid. So maybe you can separate those things as we go through this list. But kind is something that God wants us to be. Are you being good to everyone you meet? I have to think about, how about that person that comes in the store? I don't know if there's anyone I just can't stand, but there's some days when a customer comes in, it's like, I'm so busy, I don't have time to help this customer today. Do you ever feel that way with certain people in your life, that you just don't have the time to be kind? It seems like sometimes we get so busy that it makes it difficult for me sometimes. How do we treat each other here at New Beginnings? How do we treat our brothers and sisters in a church or the larger church? Are we kind to one another? Do you put others first? Do you put others first in your life? That's a big thing that Jesus, I think, always did that. Sometimes what I try to do is I try to put myself in someone else's shoes when I'm not understanding what they're doing and try to look at things through their perspective. It's not an easy thing to do, but I think that's one thing we can work on to try to do in order to be kind the way Jesus was. The next thing in verse 4, here's one of those things we shouldn't do. My translation says, do not envy. Do not envy. I don't think that this is a struggle at Christmas time. I don't think that God wants us to seek wealth or things of this world. You know, we like to get things. I like to get things. Do you like to get things? But sometimes, you know, if that becomes our love, we have to guard against that. We don't just want things. We want Jesus Christ. So don't envy what other people have. Mary has a nice mug there. Boy, I wish I had one like that, you know? You know, we aren't supposed to be acting like that, although it's easy in life to do. But also, we're not to envy each other's gifts as Christians. I mean, almost, I don't know why I got emotional doing a little drummer boy, but just in preparing for this and thinking about that, that whole message of that song is, here's this boy has nothing to give the Lord except that one little talent he has. You know, he probably would have liked to have gold, frankincense, or myrrh. You know, and I think when Tim Deering comes here and preaches, you know, wouldn't it be neat to be an apostle? But we're not to envy that. What God wants us to do is use the gift that he gave you. You might think it's small, like that little drummer boy, but in God's eyes, you know, if you're using what he gave you, that's all you need to worry about, you know, just using the things he has. Be content with what you have, but use what you have for glorifying Jesus Christ and serving him. The next thing is another one we're not supposed to do. Don't boast. Don't boast about all the things we have. Now Mary's going to boast about her mug probably because I brought that up. Oh, look at my mug. It's better than yours. Don't boast about the things you have, or don't boast about the things that you've done. That's not what God desires in our lives. We're not to be promoting ourselves. Who are we to be promoting? Jesus Christ, thank you. You know, so we shouldn't be boasting and thinking about all the things we have, all the things we can do, but we should be serving our Heavenly Father and putting him first. The last thing I believe in verse 4 is it says, don't be proud. Don't be proud. A lot of these are interconnected, it seems. But being pride means, or having pride in your life means you're putting yourself first. So when we think, boy, I really have a good sermon to give you this morning, or man, I really have good songs in the worship team this morning. We're going to blow people away with these songs. Or I have the great I. Do you get that? We're not to be boasting about what we can do. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit helping us. If we have a good worship service, it's not because of anything we've done. It's because the Holy Spirit is working through us as a body and ministering to us. I could stand up here and give the worst sermon ever in all of history, but if the Holy Spirit's working, you know, amazing things can happen in a body. But it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. And so we can't be proud. I think Jesus, as our example, was always pointing people to his Father. And he said at times, you know, that, you know, I'm here to do my Father's will. I'm here to do what my Father wants me to do. And that's part of the example that we need to learn from when Jesus would say that. So instead of thinking we can do something, one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. Do you know that one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do anything, but not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit living in and working through me. And you can do the same because of that. So we move to verse 5. The next one we see is, don't be rude. Do you ever remember a time in Scripture when Jesus was rude? I mean, there's some things maybe we could point to. Well, it was kind of rude to, you know, go into the temple and overturn all those tables, Jesus. But there was no rudeness in his heart. Don't be rude. Watch your words and actions. This is a good one for me. Be careful what we say sometimes and what we do. Always be thinking of others. When Jesus was overturning those tables, he was more concerned about the salvation of the people that were in there. And he was very concerned and very loved those people very much. And so he did something that we might say was rude, but because of what was in his heart and what he was trying to do for those people, he wasn't being rude. He was ministering to them, actually. So don't say or do inappropriate things. The second one in verse 5 says, don't be self-seeking. This is a hard one for me because a lot of times I think I want to do what I want to do. If you had a hard day at work, what do you like to do when you get home? Watch the Steelers. Relax, you know, or just sit, have some me time, you know. But what this is saying, I don't know if Jesus ever had any me time, did he? You know, even when he would get away with his Father to spend some time quietly, you know, some people would come and he would always go and minister to them. So this is a good one. It really speaks to me. We shouldn't be self-seeking and worried about ourselves as much. After a hard day's work, if you come home and God asks you to call someone and go visit somebody, what do? We need to do that just as Jesus did. And that's a tough one when you don't feel like doing something or when you're just exhausted physically. But we can't do what we want. We have to be doing what Jesus wants. We need to be making our decisions on what God wants us to be doing, not what we want to be doing. The third one is not easily angered. We talked a little bit about anger already when some of the other ones, but not easily angered. Is it easy for other people to provoke you or to say things that just set you off? Is that an issue that you might have? Or do you tend to provoke other people sometimes, maybe by what you say or what you do? For us to have unity as a body, we need to be very careful that we don't be doing those things, provoking others or allowing ourselves to be provoked. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us through some times like that, but when we can do that, it brings unity within a body. I mean, we're not going to agree on everything here, but we have to really try not to provoke one another. And I think we do a pretty good job of that here at New Beginnings, of not provoking one another. keeps no record of wrongs. The King James says, thinketh no evil. What does that mean? What's God trying to tell us there? I think it all gets back again. We need to be a forgiving people. We need to learn to be able to forgive others. When they might offend us or do something, we need to easily forgive. We don't hold grudges. We don't seek to get even with other people. Do you ever feel like, boy, I can't believe that person did that bad. Wait till I see them again. I want to get back at them. You know, that's exactly opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do here. But in our humanness, that's sometimes the way we feel. One of the things that really hit me here was keeping no record of wrongs. Don't dwell on injustices done to you. I always think that things need to be fair in life, that if you're not treated fairly, that there should be some kind of recourse. I don't know if you ever feel that way. Is that what Jesus would say? Is that what Jesus would do? What were Christ's words on the cross? When here he is, after he was scourged, he's hanging on the cross in horrible pain. You know, he's nails through his hands and feet. Just awful, and he didn't do anything wrong. And what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You know, that is tough in life, and I can't do that, but with the Holy Spirit's help, I have to try. It's not something I think we can do on our own, but we need to be like Jesus when it comes to loving others. We can't keep records of wrongs. Verse 6, also, we go to verse 6 now. The first one says, don't delight in evil. Don't delight in evil. Hate impure thoughts. Hate those temptations that Satan throws at you. Just detest everything that Satan tries to do in your life, I think, would be a good thing. James 1:15 says that after desire has conceived, after you're tempted, you have a desire to do something. If you give in to that desire, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full-blown, gives birth to death. And so we need to not delight in evil. We need to understand that Satan's going to come against us, and we need to be ready for that and not give in to those temptations and let him entice us. One of the scriptures that Judy and I tried to memorize is from Romans when we first were married. It's a long time ago. Romans 12, verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. If you look at the Greek word for cling, if I give you a word picture of what that would mean, imagine that you're hanging from a skyscraper. Somehow you fell over the railing that's supposed to protect you, and you're just hanging there, and you look down a half mile below you, and you're just hanging there. Clinging is hanging on with all you've got, doing all you can. You don't want to let go. If you let go, you're going to fall to your death. That's the word picture of what that cling is actually meaning. We really have to struggle and do all we can to hold on to what's good so that we don't have impure thoughts or resist or fall into Satan's temptations. We don't want to delight in evil. So it takes work on our part to do that. Then we get to the last one in verse 6. Now we're getting into some of the positive ones, I think, again. It says, rejoice with truth. Rejoiced with truth. And I had to think, where does our truth come from? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. Jesus came to be an example for us so that we would understand truth. This is truth that God has given us. Our truth needs to be based on Jesus' life and what God's word says. We go to verse 7. Always protects. Always protects. Love always protects. King James says, beareth. There's probably different ways we could look at this verse, but as a body here, I think we need to look at this as we need to be protecting and watching over our brothers and sisters. If there's an issue with a brother or sister, what are we to do? We're not to say, okay, everybody come together, we want to talk about Mike now. We're supposed to go and talk to Mike one and one. We're supposed to protect our brothers and sisters. If someone's in error, we're to go and talk one and one to them. Deal with them privately. And when you do that, you protect them and you're watching over them. You can forgive them and you can minister to them. And then you cover them with your love. But that's the way we're to be functioning as a body when we talk about protecting others in love. Always trust. Always trust. Trust God and remain faithful to Him in whatever circumstance you come across. The other night at youth, we talked about a little bit about some of the things that happened in Scripture. We talked a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were supposed to bow down before this idol, and they couldn't because they loved the Lord. And so when the king came up to him and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the king actually liked them. He said, you need to bow down or you're going to get thrown into this fiery furnace. And you remember what their answer was? You know, we can't bow down to you. We can't bow down to that image. We're only serving God. And He can protect us. But then I like the next part. They said, even if He doesn't, even if He chooses not to save us, we're still not going to do that. They were trusting in the Lord to save them. And the Lord did. But then we went to the New Testament to one of the deacons, Stephen. Stephen. And God had a purpose for Stephen's life. And Stephen trusted God. And he gave a sermon. And remember what happened at the end of that. He was stoned to death. And that's not the way we think things are going to work out when we trust God, is it? But God had a purpose. Do you know what happened? We talked about this a little bit in Bible study. What happened after Stephen was stoned? One of the youth tell me? There's not too many of you here. Oh. Do you remember? The gospel message was spread all throughout the area because a great persecution broke out against the church. And so they had to flee, and they took Jesus with them wherever they went and told others about Him. So even in trusting God doesn't always work out the way we want it to, does it? Abraham trusted God. He took Isaac and was willing to kill his son and sacrifice him because he thought God will raise him from the dead again. But he was willing to do that and trusted God to do that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? You know, he was basically telling God, hey God, I don't really want to go through all that on the cross. Is there any other way we can do this? Is there any other way that we could do something? I don't have to do this. But Jesus trusted his Father as being an example for us and went to the cross because that's what he had to do. Trusting God isn't always easy. It doesn't always end well. What we would say, it ends well for us, no matter if we trust God. But in the physical sense, sometimes it doesn't appear to end well. Always hopes. Always hopes. We have a lot to hope for, don't we? We hope for an eternity with Jesus. We can hope in the promises that God has given us. His word is full of promises. And one of those is that I will come again. And we have hope that someday that will be fulfilled. And we also can have hope for loved ones that don't know the Lord. You know, when we ask God to bring someone to Him, that involves us going out and ministering to them. But love always hopes, always is positive. The last one in verse 7 is always perseveres. If we have the love of God in our heart, we will be able to endure all things. Whether it's persecutions, afflictions, temptations, even death. But we do that for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we go to verse 8. And it says that love never fails. And it talks about that there won't always be prophecies. People won't always be speaking in tongues, that they're going to cease someday. Because when we get to heaven, there won't be any need for prophecy anymore. There won't be any need for tongues because we'll be in God's presence and communing with Him physically. An awesome thing. But God's love is never going to end. That same love we'll experience when we get to sit at Jesus' feet for eternity. And so we're going to close this morning looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
Luke 2, 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
God loved us so much that He came as Jesus Christ to be an example for us. Jesus' purpose was to point us towards His Heavenly Father, wasn't it? That's what He was doing his whole life. But the thing that hits me when we look at these verses is that Jesus didn't come to point people or to bring attention to Himself, did He? I mean, if you were God and you were going to come down to this place called earth, much, much, much worse off than you'd be in heaven, don't you think you'd pick like a wealthy king or something that you could be born into, and you'd be born in a palace and you'd have all kinds of luxuries and things like that? And yet Jesus chose to be born in a feeding trough, in a trough like this, in a manger. That's the type of Father we have. His main purpose was to love you and I and to tell others about His Heavenly Father because He wants to spend eternity with us. And so, how do we do? If this is something where I think the Holy Spirit wants us to do is take inventory. How are you at loving others? How do we stack up to the love that Jesus had when He came? Jesus was all of these things in Corinthians. But how am I doing? How are you doing? God loved us no matter who we were. God loved us no matter what we did. God loves us rather whether we're rich or poor. God loves us whether we're gay or straight. God loves us whether we're Republican or a Democrat or a liberal conservative. God loves us no matter what you look like, what you've done. Do we love other people that same way? Do we love people the way God loved us and does love us and the way He loves other people? You know, I think for God, the hardest thing is that He gave us that choice of whether we wanted to spend eternity with Him or not. That just has to break His heart when people reject Him. But it also made me think that He wants us to be telling others about Him and about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we need to have a love for the people we work with, people we see every day, and be willing to tell them about Jesus the same way that Jesus was an example for us and did that His whole life here on the earth, those 33 years. And so this morning, I hope that the Holy Spirit can challenge you to live a life of love like Jesus did, and to put others first, and to tell others about Him. And as we think about Christmas this year, and what Jesus gave up when He came to this earth, you know, what are we willing to give up to tell others about our Heavenly Father, just as Jesus was willing to give up to come here? Let's close in prayer. Oh, we're going to have a closing song. Is that right? Let's go ahead and do that, and we'll have prayer after that's over. So what's the song that you're singing? Oh, Holy Night. So as we sing that, just worship the Lord, spend time singing, or just spend time, you know, in prayer, talking to him as we close out with this song. We can stand to close.
I have a short reading before we start. This is from a devotional. It's called A Love Like That. He couldn't do anything for himself. Born with cerebral palsy, he sat in the wheelchair loving every second of the Christmas musical. He faces challenges that I can't even imagine. His body wrecked by a disease with no cure. He sat in the back of the auditorium, perhaps not wanting to distract. And sitting next to him was a proud mother. I couldn't help stealing a glance throughout that evening to see her stroking his hair, wiping his mouth, and smiling all the while. She adored him. I had to meet this amazing mother. She was a single mom who had just moved from Tennessee to Kansas. How do you do all this by yourself? I asked. He is my life. He is the greatest blessing that ever happened to me, she said. This two-person family had an eternal effect on me. I received a glimpse of the love of God. Of the love God has for me. Despite my constant battles with sin and personal rebellion, God loves me like that. Amazingly, you are God's treasure, and if you follow him, he will be yours. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. No doubt you've already heard the familiar words of O Holy Night this year. Don't miss the truth of the final verse. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. If you want to know how to love one another, look at the love that sent Jesus to earth to live a life of love and pay the price for all of our sins. It's all about love. This isn't a love of fancy words and impossible tasks. This is the love that says, I am willing to love you no matter what. We can love because he first loved us.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder thank you.
Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your great love for each one of us. And as we approach Christmas Day, when we celebrate your coming to this earth, we pray that we would just be overwhelmed with your love, that you would just lavishly dish it out upon us, and that we in turn would be able to love others the way you love us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your great love for each one of us. In your name we pray, amen.